Okay. I want to look at my watch and see it's 11 o'clock.
Go ahead.
We want to wrap up and move on.
Yeah. Okay. So now I want to pick on what you have said. As you have the book of Romans before you, there are how many chapters in the book of Romans? 16 chapters in the book of Romans. Let me just divide it for you, and I want you to write that down. Chapter 1 to chapter 8 is one section. It has one thought in it. Let me just put it this way. It has one theme to it. From chapter 9 to chapter 11, there is another section. So when you read the book through the book of Romans, you just know where you, it's kind of a, it help you out. And then from chapter 12 to the end, chapter 16 is another section. Okay? So we divided the book of Romans into three sections. Now let me take the first section and divide it into two parts. And that's what Chuck was hinting about. From chapter 1 till chapter 5 verse 11 is one section. Okay? Are you writing down? I'm going to ask questions. And from chapter 5, verse 12, till chapter 8, I think it's 19, somewhere in chapter 8, is another section. 17, thank you. From chapter 5, verse 12, to chapter 8, verse 17, is another section. Okay, we got a grasp of the book of Romans already, see? Chapter 1 to chapter 5, verse 11, deal with what Chuck was telling us, S-I-N-S, sins, the fruit. My sins are forgiven. What is the answer for sins, S-I-N-S, the fruit? The blood of Christ. You will find in the first section, the blood of Christ is mentioned or prominent, mentioned more often. So, to take care of that stain, that sins, the fruit, we have the blood of Christ to take care of that. Well, you're out of the courtroom, you're out of jail, you have money in your pocket, your record is good, you have the Holy Spirit, and man, oh man, we're going to come to the real interesting section after that. There is another problem. S-I-N. We have another problem here, and we will get to that. So in the second section now, which we are going into, from chapter 5, verse 12 on, we have a problem called sin, S-I-N, the root that Brother Chuck was saying about. Because the problem is this, you get a tree that put bad fruit, and every year you collect the fruits and you burn them. What are you going to get the next year? What? You have a tree that has bad fruits, and every year you take these bad fruits and you burn them. The next year, the tree will bring more bad fruits. You take them and you burn them. And the following year, the tree will bring sins, S-I-N-S. Well, you gotta take care of the root, my friend. And that's how God, when God deals with something, He doesn't do it halfway. He deals with the whole problem. So now, in the section that we're gonna study, there will be a little bit switch here. We're going to be dealing with the root, sin, S-I-N. And that's where we're going to get what Stephen was telling us earlier about the Lord Jesus and Adam. So, for sins, we need the blood of Christ. For sin, write that down, you need the death of Christ.
Going back to verse 10, where Brother Chuck was speaking on, it says this, "Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." And I just want to make the point there. I believe that that refers to the fact that the Lord Jesus is at the right hand of God now interceding for us, bringing us through. I just want to think that's very important that it links up with, I think, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. He's able to save completely those who come to God by Him because He ever lives to make intercession for them. I just want to make that point before we go on.
He saved us.
And He's keeping
us. He saves us. And ultimately, one day, that salvation will be complete, won't it? And we'll be with Him. But I'm always in need of being saved, right, not my soul salvation now, but of having really this known and experienced as I go through this scene. How many of us know what a parenthesis is in the Word of God? We ever notice that verse 13 begins with a parenthesis? The parentheses begins at verse 13 and it ends in verse 17. So, let's read verse 12 first. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Who was the man? What? Say it again. Who was the man? Adam. Now, when somebody comes and asks me how sin came into this world, I don't tell them I don't know. You understand that the book that this comes from is a book that men and the enemy has worked for centuries to eradicate. And that's the book of Genesis. Do you know if they can do away with Genesis, they can do away with all of their problems that a Christian brings in. I come back to the Word of God. I recognize by one man, sin entered into the world. I don't have anything else to say about it. God tells me, this is the answer. I stand upon this verse. I stand upon the Word of God. What did the Lord do when He was in the wilderness? Do we remember? What did He quote over and over and over? Quoted the Scriptures, didn't He? It says, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now I need to be very clear as to the beginning, the origin of where this man came from that Emil's talking about, that we're going to have to learn to deal with him. You see? I'm gonna always see that this man is here. He's the captain of the boat that we had at Sandy Cove a couple years ago. He's the one that wants to have a place. He wants to have authority. God says, well, we're going to go back and see the origin of this man, just where he came from. Then I have this parenthesis, and a parenthesis in the Word of God is a little side issue. It explains something, so I don't read from verse 12 into verse 13. I read from 12 to 18. But we'll separate that little parenthesis out of there and see if we can determine what it means. Let's just read it. For until the law, what is the law here? What's the law here? What law are we talking about? That's right, the law of Moses, the law of the Old Testament. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. I have a bunch of kids on the street out here. Our children, they're playing. And I come through in my car or on my motorcycle at about 85 miles an hour. There wasn't a sign up. I came rushing through there. One of them was killed that I hit. How can I relate that to these verses, you see? The law was, sin was still there. That's what I'm trying to say. That's not a clear application. But I knew it was wrong. I knew it was wrong, and there were still the results of it. He says, until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. But what happened to men from the time of Adam to the time of Moses? They still did what? Still die. They still die. Even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Now get this. Adam, who is the figure of him that was to come. I'm beginning to see clearly now that there's two Adams in the Word of God. There's the second Adam, isn't there? The last Adam, that's correct. And there's the first one. They're both the head of a race. There's the first one, and there were all of us that flowed from him. But there's the last Adam, the second man, the Lord from heaven, that we have here. He is the figure. As Adam was the head of a race, so Christ now is looked at, the last Adam, is the head of a second race of all of those that are going to be patterned after him. Somebody probably could have said that clearer than me. Do we understand that? Do we need to talk more about that?
So what did we say was the importance of this book to be established, right? I'm like the only one, I guess. But they're not as intimidated by me as they are by Emil, so. So One of the things that we establish is the contrast, as I was saying earlier, of the first man and the last man. And the reason why we do this contrast right here is though that we understand which things are of the Lord and which things are, you know, of sin and of this old nature that is within us. We have a contrast of justification, and that contrast of justification is condemnation. And we have touched this, you know, earlier on. And we also have the understanding that the contrast of reconciliation was enmity, because we had enmity with God. And we see the extent of condemnation for all have sinned, so therefore all are worthy of death. And then we see the extent of justification by faith. So now there's one side of this category which every single person fits in, but then there's also another side of this category which goes according to faith. And I'm hoping that everyone has received that gift of salvation. And if you haven't already, you can talk to one of the brothers after the meeting about such things.